Good morning, Mabel Louise.
Good morning. Isn't it beautiful out? Mm-hmm. Oh, my. What a perfect day. A day to go to the park and have a picnic. That's right. It's going to be 80 degrees. And don't you love spring and summer? Everything is so nice and plush and green and the flowers beautiful. You should see my bleeding heart plants. They're in full bloom in those intricate little hearts. How sweet the Lord made all of those. So beautiful and for us to enjoy. And Pat reading from Isaiah, how beautiful. And then over in Hebrews, the fourth chapter, greater is he that is within you than he that is in the world. What a perfect opening for my broadcast. That's right. Just let me remind you that today I'm going to continue on with my subject of why can't we live at peace with one another? Isn't that a good question for today? So seemingly so many people are angry with someone else. Starting with our government and all that's going on. Yes, it's a turmoil, but in the midst of that, if you know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, you can have the peace that passeth all understanding. I was reminded this morning of Mark 4. That's where Jesus stilled the storm. Remember, he was in the boat with the disciples going to the other side, and a big storm came up, and they tell me that some of the worst storms in any body of water can happen on the Sea of Galilee because of the way it is sitting. In other words, it has two sides, and that wind whips down through the sea, and they say the storms are horrible. Well, apparently that's what was happening when Jesus was in this boat. And of course, he was fast asleep. He owns the sea. He made it. And the disciples were afraid, and they woke him up and said, "Master, don't you care that we are going to perish?" And, of course, Jesus got up from the pillow and said, "Peace be still." And I'd like to just leave that little tiny verse, three words, with you. Peace, have peace, and be still. So many times we're so busy and so upset that we fail to have the peace that only Jesus can give us. So I say to you today, if you are a worrywart or if you are stressed out about something, just remember those three little words, peace. Be still. Yes, be still. Stop it. Trust Jesus. He is our peace. So let me continue on today with my subject of In Search of Peace. And today the question, why can't we live at peace with one another? Well, as believers in the Lord Jesus, we have a super special bond with each other. Oh my goodness. I love the people at our church. And it's so precious. So many of them come and give me a hug. You can't imagine how precious that is to me. And have you ever met a stranger, someone you've never seen before, and you sense a bond, and you soon discover that you both are believers? Of course you have. I know I have many times. Well, the Bible teaches us to be of encouragement and help to our brothers and sisters in Christ. And yet, we have all known one or two believers with whom we have more conflict than comfort. Sorry to say, but it's true. Could it be that our personalities didn't fit and you feel uncomfortable? I feel uncomfortable with people who have a personality who say what they think. They quickly say what they think. The problem could be a matter, really, of miscommunication or misunderstanding. But whatever the difference, it doesn't matter. We can overcome them through our Jesus. So let's be realistic. We won't be able to get along with everyone because we live in an imperfect world. The Bible reminds us over and over again that, as it is written, you know where that's found in Romans, the 3rd chapter, verses 10, 11, and 23. This is what it says. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And despite all obstacles, we need to really work at it to be at peace with all men. I don't know about you, but if I have anything going between me and someone else, I have a hard time praying. And oh my goodness, I need to pray. There's so many things to pray about. And I don't want to hinder my prayer life. So we need to get it settled and get it settled as quickly as possible. So let me give you 6 qualifications that we must do in order to have peace between someone else. Ask yourself, is your relationship valuable enough to learn how to live in peace? In other words, how valuable is this person to you? Well, in my book, everyone is valuable. And so you just work, work, work at it, pray, 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 and go to the Lord and ask him what you should do. Start talking together. Keep on talking until you have it out. Keep on listening. Listen, if you listen closely, I'm sure you can soon learn what the problem is. Be honest and open and transparent. Like, maybe I'm wrong. Or, like, I could be wrong. Or, let me pray about it. Or, maybe I made a hasty decision. Or, maybe you could say, perhaps I've been thinking of the wrong way. In the wrong thing. Oh, there's so many ways you can ease the pressure and take blame until it's settled. And then try, if you can, to get to the root cause. Why, and was it something from our past? Is it something that we need to have a disagreement now? From so long ago? Did something happen when we were children that has brought all this to a head? Was it or could it be the way you were treated and you expect to do the same to others? And then you could ask yourself, am I responding the way my mother acted or what I observed as a child? And ask yourself this, are you willing to listen and talk together to search out the reason for the disagreement? And then 6, always be willing to say, I want to work at this. I want to get it over and have peace. Well, sometimes people do not know how to love or even accept love. Have you known people like that? I have. So if two people are truly born again and filled with the Holy Spirit, and if they work at it and are honest with themselves, they can make it work. It's interesting that some people thrive on strife and fighting. You know why? Because they grew up that way. They heard their parents fight day and night. Oh my goodness, when I was doing counseling, I heard this over and over and over again. Try to overcome the past and live above all of those things that you remember. And then there are people who love to make you miserable. You know why? Because they can't handle the fact that you are happy and satisfied and have peace and you're joyful as a believer. Yes, there are some people that they just can't handle it. Well, I love the portion of Scripture that instructs us on all of these matters that I've discussed with you this morning. Let me read Romans chapter 12. Write that down someplace if there's some disagreements in your church or your small group or your committee or wherever you seem to be. Write down chapter 12 of Romans, where it gives instructions to go as far as you can go without violating the Word of God. Let me read these three verses to you. It starts out by saying, "Recompense to no man evil for evil." In other words, don't try to get even with a person and act the way they do. "Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord." And isn't it interesting how we try to take over rather than give the problem to the Lord to work out? After all, the only person that person with a disagreement is, the only person that can change them is Jesus. And it goes on to say, "If your enemy hungers, feed him. If he thirsts, give him drink. For in so doing, you shall heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good." I can't tell you how many times my parents used this portion of Scripture and teaching us as their children to forget and forgive. And that term now I'll be describing, because I want to ask another question before I get to that. What happens if you pursue peace at any price? What has to take place in our lives? Well, we have to be willing to sacrifice our own servanthood. We are hurt, but we're willing to forgive and to make it work. That is, if you value that person's friendship. You need to ask yourself, how valuable is it? Then you need to go as far as you can without violating the Word of God. And then I just read Romans 12. It talked about, "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. It feeds coals upon their heads." What does that mean? Well, you're not responsible if the person is not willing to forgive or forget. You are not responsible. But the term of heap coals means you love them anyway, no matter what. And if you do, it makes them feel loved, but along with that, it makes them feel guilty. So kindness to them creates anguish with them. they usually are thinking an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. In other words, I'll get even with you. So loving them creates frustration in their lives. So you can overcome evil with good. And if we get back at them and act the way they do, then we're just no different than they are. So when it seems impossible, here's what we need to do. Pray, 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 and pray some more, and ask Jesus what you should do. Go to a wise and godly counselor and ask them what would be best. And make sure you have the right attitude. Yes, we need to be like Jesus, have peace with one another, and you need to love no matter what. Be patient with them. Colossians 3:12-13 says, "Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so do you also. And above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfectness, and let the peace of God rule in your heart, to which also you are called in one body, and be thankful." So be forgiving and kind to one another. We can never justify an unforgiving spirit. So as a believer, we need to always keep in mind how Jesus keeps on and keeps on and keeps on forgiving you and me. Keeping peace then with one another is a choice. And peace is more than the absence of conflict. Peace is living in the presence of God. I hope this has been of encouragement to you today. Bye-bye.